Hi. Yes, I was thinking if people would want to, since we have a relatively smaller group, today I'm going to just tell you something separate, but I would like to actually take a major shtickle in the Michas Chinuch and actually do it inside. For my own selfish reasons, I want to do something on Tumas Meis. So if I could be matriach, if somebody would be willing to make 5 or 6 copies. This is in Parshas Emor. At the beginning of Parshas Emor, there is a long shtickle on the halachas of Tumas Meis. And I apologize for using my selfish interests, but hopefully it'll give you ideas and something that you don't cover in yeshiva that much. So you'll have ideas in a new mitzvah. Yes, we can actually look at it. So if you're willing to go to the trouble, I appreciate it. I hate to ask people. If you use the new Minchas Chinuch, it's more pages. You know, the Minchas Chinuch, not the old, of course, but the one that has the notes, you know, like that would be better. It's easier to read. There are subheadings. But it is more pages. Okay, yes, okay. Thank you. And again, if we'd have 30 people, it would be a terrible to assemble it. But for a smaller group, we could manage do it that way. Right? So, but for today, I'll still stay with an outside sugya. And that is, I just want to mention in Parshas Korach. So after Parshas Korach, so we have all sorts of things happen. Let me give you an interesting horror. You know, there's a big machlokes rishonim. When did the Maisa of Korach happen? Now the Ramban's general shita is, he does not like the rule of Ein Mukdim Amukher B'Torah. He never likes to take the Torah out of chronological order. So the Ramban learns everything's Kipshutai. There's Shiluach HaMeraglim, and after the Gezerah of Shiluach HaMeraglim, Korach fosters a rebellion. And in fact, the Ramban says it's quite logical that way, because part of the fuel that Korach throws on the fire is, hey, you think Moshe Rabbeinu is such a great leader? Look at where he got you. Of course, blaming Moshe Rabbeinu for the Chet HaMeraglim. The Ramban says, before the Chet HaMeraglim, when Klal Yisrael thought they were going to on the express line to Eretz Yisrael in a few days, they wouldn't have trusted Korach. Why would they rebel against Moshe? He's bringing them to Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, it's a davar pashut, that the Maisa of Korach is after Shiluach HaMeraglim, and it occurred in Kadesh Barnea, it occurred in Midbar Parva. The emesis, it's Mukhrach from Rashi, the same thing, because when Korach says, Kala Eda Kulam Kadeshim, B'Soicham Hashem, Madua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem, so the Pasuk says, Vayishma Moshe, Vayipail Al Panav, Moshe Rabbeinu fell on his face b'tfilo. Rashi says, why is Moshe Rabbeinu falling on his face b'tfila? Because this is the Sirchayim HaRavi. This is the fourth major chait. There is the chait HaEgel. And after the chait HaEgel, there is the chait of Kibros HaTaiva when they complained about the man. And then there is the chait HaMeraglim. And then there is the chait of Korach. And the Pasuk says in Amos, Al Shleisha Pishe Yisrael, V'al Arba'a Lo Ashivena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I might be willing to forgive 3 major Averos, but on the 4th one I'm not. And therefore Moshe has a pachad that Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu might destroy. So you see from Rashi chronologically that if Rashi puts Korach as the 4th chait, Rashi is also learning here that the Maisa of Korach is after Shiluach HaMeraglim. However, there are kama v'kama rishonim that learn that the Maisa Korach is Shiluach Seder, and the Maisa Korach happens before the Shiluach HaMeraglim, and they base it on the idea that the Gemara in Yevamah says, Gemara in Tainus as well, that the Shekhinah was not Nisiyached in Maisha from the Chet HaMeraglim on. Klal Yisrael was in a state of Nazifa. They were in a state of excommunication, and the Shekhinah did not communicate to Moshe until the 40th year, after the last generation of Jews died, right? And they sat Shiva in the 15th of Av. Ebazai, if the Shekhinah didn't speak until for Moshe from the Chet HaMeraglim onwards, then what about the story of Korach? Hashem did great miracles. So because of this, they posit, Ein muktam u'mu'ucher b'Torah. Ah, you'll still ask Akasha. Well, yeah, so why didn't the Torah write it in chronological order? Meaning, good, the Torah doesn't always follow chronological order, but you still have to give a reason. Why shouldn't I say? So the answer is, Pashut, like Rashi himself brings, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to connect the Meraglim to Miriam to say that the Meraglim should have taken Musar not to speak Lashon Hara. So the real sequence is Miriam, Korach, Meraglim, but instead it's Miriam, Meraglim, Korach, because the Torah wants to be Merames, that the Meraglim should have taken Musar from Miriam. Okay, that's what they say. In fact, some people say maybe it's even a stira in Rashi, because Rashi in Korach learns, right? Rashi in Korach learns Korach is after Meraglim. If Korach is after Meraglim, then why does Rashi say in the beginning of Shalach, Lama Nismecha Parshas Meraglim and Parshas Miriam? The reason why it's Nismecha Parshas Meraglim and Parshas Miriam is because that's the chronological sequence. In other words, the Kasha itself indicates Korach should have been first. So that gufa is a shtickle stira in Rashi. But what's even worse is there's enough in a stira in Rashi, an explicit stira in Rashi. And that is in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. It says, Eila Devarim, right? These are the words that Moshe spoke. And what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Eila HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael Be'Eber HaNohar Ba'Midbor Be'Arava Mol Suf Ben Paran Ben Tofel Be'Lavan V'Chatzeres V'Dizav. Now, the simple translation of the Pasuk is that Moshe's, these are the speeches that Moshe gave before his death in place A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But Chazal say that's not Emes. Moshe only gave all of his farewell Musar in only one place, Aver Hayarden, which is Arvas Moav. So what are all these other places? So Rashi explains from Chazal that these are not the places where he gave his talk. These are the places that he talked about, meaning he talked about in his Teichacha the Avei, right? Eila HaDvarim Asher Dibir Moshe Be'Eber HaYarden. Colon. He spoke about the sins of the desert, the sins of the Arava, the sins of Mol Suf. Okay? And then Rashi tells us, Biramiza, what are each of these places alluding to? So he says, Mol Suf, I'll just start from the middle, is the Yamsuf, that when people didn't have Emuna. Now, Bein Paran is the Shiluach HaMeraglim, which occurred in Midbar Paran, right? Kadesh Barnea is located in Midbar Paran. Now, Tovel V'Lavan gives Rashi some problems, because there's no such place in the Torah called Tovel V'Lavan. But Rashi says, Tovel is a lesson of Tovel, tasteless, and this refers to their taina and the mun, that the mun was tasteless in their eyes and the mun was white. So even though the mun could taste like whatever they wanted, but they considered it tasteless. And then it says chaseres. And dizahav, I'll go back to chaseres in a moment, dizahav is the chait of the egalazav. Now, the order is very mud. I mean, according to Rashi, it's not following the order of the veris at all, but that's it. Chait egal, chait meraglim, the mun. But what is chaseres? What is the avera of chaseres? So Rashi gives you two pshat. Pshat number one is chaseres is the sin of machlokuso shel Korach, which was in chaseres. Pshat number two is it's the lashon hara of Miriam that was in chaseres. Now, the second pshat works perfectly. The Torah itself says beferish that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara in Chaseres, and because she was Chutz L'machana for 7 days, the people did not travel until Miriam was ready to join them. And from Chaseres they went to Paran. Paran was Shiluach HaMeraglim. So like Rashi's second pshat, everything is Keseder. But like Rashi's first pshat, if you're telling me that the chait of Korach was in Chaseres, then that must have been before Shiluach HaMeraglim, because we came to Midbar Paran only after Chatzeres. Ebazoi, Rashi in Devarim, well, not totally, but the first pshat in Rashi in Devarim is going like the Shita, that the Maisa of Kairach happened before the Meraglim, in Chatzeres. So it was Miriam, Kairach, Meraglim. And yet, Rashi in Parshas Kairach says it's Sirchaim Revi. But again, it's not so difficult. It would have been a stronger kasha if Rashi only brought Chatzeres as Korach. But Rashi does bring a Davar Acher that Chatzeres is Miriam. So the way it works is, in Sefer Devarim, Rashi gives you both Midrashim. But in Parshas Kairach, he only uses the Medrash that is more Karev L'Pshuto Shel Mikra. And in Pshuto Shel Mikra, Karech happened afterwards. In other words, all I'm saying is, what Rashi says in Parshas Kairach is following only one of the Midrashim that he brings in Sefer Devarim. Now, some want to be Miyashiv. Some want to be Miyashiv for different ways. Some want to be Miyashiv, although it's not recorded, that maybe we went back to Chatzeres a second time, meaning Chatzeres, Miriam, Paran, Meraglim. Then when we were wandering around, we went backwards to Chatzeres. And the Kairach happened post-Meraglim, second trip in Chatzeres. But there's actually one Chazal that says that, but it says it about, so it's not clear, because in Parshas Masai, it does not indicate that there was a return trip to Chatzeres. But we do have some return trips. When Aaron died, it says we went backwards 8 months out. But we don't find a return trip in any other scenario. So that's one Aaron. Okay. But be it as it may, one other Aaron I mentioned to my other share, but it's also very, very interesting. You know, everyone knows that the B'nai Kairach, it says in Parshas Pinchas, B'nai Kairach Le'Mesu. And according to Chazal, the B'nai Kairach, because of their tshuva, the last moment of their lives, they survived. And indeed, they had children. And Shmuel HaNavi is descended from the B'nai Kairach and other Levim. We have 11 kapitlach of Tehillim. Lam Natseach L'B'nai Kairach Nismar. One of those kapitlach is what we recite 7 times before Tekiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Part of it is, although there are many Ramazim to Shofar in that capital, but one of the Ramazim also is that this shows me the Kayach of Tshuva, that even in the last moments when your mom is going to be sucked into the earth, a hearer of Tshuva can be Mazim. But I saw something from, don't report me, something from the Babacher Rebbe. He makes a very, very good deal on this. Although he quotes it from another Sefer, actually, but Sefer is not familiar to me.
That was trying to compose that through the wind as they were entering the ground.
No, I didn't say that. No, but they're descendants. They're descendants. They did Shuvah as they were being sucked. And that's why they were saved. So their descendants memorialized the Kayach of Shuvah in their Tehillim. Shiras Chana as well. Shiras Chana. Hashem Memes Machaya Mayrid Sha'al Vaya'al is a remnant to the B'nai Kairach being Nitzel. Mayrid Sha'al. They actually went into. But here's the kasha. The kasha is like this. In Parshas Kairach, there is no mention of B'nai Kairach surviving. Parshas Kairach says, Kairach v'chol asher lai. With Kairach, people are usually allowed Kairach to die. But, Kol asher lai. But the chasaleim aretz, the earth covered them up. Vayayvdu mitaychakom. It doesn't say B'nai Kairach survived. In Parshas Pinchas, this is a census of the new generation that's entering Mitzrayim. This is 40 years later, 39 years later. It adds as a footnote, B'nai Kairach lo mesu. That's not the logical place to put it. You put it in the story of Kairach. So he brings that in fact they were swallowed up in the ground. And they remained, like Rashi says, they were on a ledge. They remained underground for 39 years. Everybody thought they were dead. somehow Hashem took care of them, Yerach Nes. And then, after 39 years, when we're counting the new generation, they crawl out and they're alive. It's a tremendous deal. That's what, right? So, in terms of what we saw, that's everybody. Later, b'nei karech lo meis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is this a right that it was? How does it fit with the Baruch Actually,
no, this could fit either chronology. In fact, you know, if you say Kairach is after the Meraglim,
after the Meraglim, then everybody has to die, right?
Well, it depends. It depends how old the B'nai Kairach. See, that's an unknown question. Meaning, were the B'nai Kairach less than 20? If they were less than 20, they would not be Nichol back as they were. That's an interesting question. Did the B'nai Kairach themselves come to Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. They had grandchildren that did, obviously, but whether they themselves died in the door on Midbar, that's not so question. Okay. But the Ari and Halacha I wanted to share with you is this. At the end of the Parsha, after the authority of Moshe and Aaron was established, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu lists the Chavdalit Matnas Kehuna Leviya, and among them is Bechor. Right, a Bechor Tam is a korban that is brought, and a Bechor Adam, there is Pidyon HaBen, and a Bechor of a Chamor, there is Pidyon Keter Chamor, which is a Seh. And by the way, a lot of people misunderstand this. Although a Bechor Tam, let's say a firstborn kosher animal, a cow, a sheep, not a cow, a bull, a sheep, or a goat, is brought as a korban, a Bechor Tam, a Pidyon Keter Chamor is not Kaddish at all. It's Chul and Gemur. In other words, that's why they even do it today, if you want to do it. In other words, if I have a firstborn donkey that I didn't sell the year to a guy, I give the Kohen a sheep, and the sheep is Chul and Gemur. The sheep is not Kaddish. The sheep is not a korban, even with Zman HaMikdash.
It belongs to the Kohen.
It belongs to the Kohen, so he could check it. He could sell it to Israel. And certainly a Zohar is allowed to eat it, Bershus HaKohen. So Pidyon Keter Chamor, Bichlal is no Kedusha. Okay. But there's a din, the Mishnah says the following. The Mishnah says, by Bechor Adam, if I designate money for Pidyon HaBen, and the money is lost, I am Chayav B'Achariyusan Ad Sheyavai Liyad Kayin. Until the Kayin makes a Kinyan on that money, I'm Chayiv and Achrayis. On the other hand, states in the Mishnah that if you're Makrish a Pidyon Keter Chamor and it's Nevat, you're not Chayiv and Achrayis. And strangely enough, the Gemara does not give you a Makor for the Chiluk. What is the Chiluk between Pidyon HaBen, where you're Chayiv and Achrayis Ad Shiyava Liyad Kayin, and Pidyon Keter Chamor, that you're not Chai, as soon as you're Makrish. The Chamor is now Mutcher, and even if the Seh is Nevad, right, you're not Chai. Now, Avada, if you deliberately withhold it, you're a Goslin. But even then, it doesn't affect the Pidyon. So the Meshech Chachma has a Shita like the Gra. Now, a lot of Mufarshim don't do this. The Gra was comfortable in finding a makor in Tirish Shabichsav, even for things that Chazal either call halacha Moshe Misinai or don't give you a makor. Because the Gra held, Leka Midi, the low remiz of the Araisa, there is nothing that's not Merumas in the Tirah, and even a pure halacha Moshe Misinai will be Merumas Bikra. So the Meshech Chachma follows such a shita, the Meshech Chachma follows the shita of the Grandis, and he creates his own Makar, which is a very, very ingenious Makar. We know that when a verb is repeated in the Torah, Chazal usually darshan afilu meya pa'amim. Shaleach meshiluach akad. Shaleach teshalach esoein afilu meya pa'amim. I send away the mother comes back, I send it away again. Hocheach teichiach es amisecha. again, assuming the guy's not going to hit you, because if it's going to hit you, you're putter, and again, but you have to be mochiach as many times as is necessary. If he's a person that's makabel teichacha, but he needs more times. So, the Meshech Chachma points out like this. If you look in Parshas Kairach, look at the difference in the wording. By Pidyon HaBen, it says the following lashon. Let's find it here. Ach padai sifte eis b'chor ha'adam v'yeis b'chor behema hatmeya tifte. So why, right, it juxtaposes two things in the same pasuk. There's a mitzvah to redeem the b'chor of an adam, and there the Torah says padai sifte, but the b'chor behema tmeya tifte. So, if we learn Padai Sifte is afilu mea pamim, why would you have to be Paida mea pamim? One time is enough. Answer, if you're Paida and the money is Navad, Kaidim Shiavo Yad Kaya, you're Chayiv and Achrayas. And since it doesn't say that Lashon, by Bechor Behema Temea, Shema Minah, once you're Paida, even Kaidim Shiavo Yad Kaya, you're not Chayiv and Achrayas. It's a very, that itself is
aren't you, the process of being pulled, I mean, as the way you do it now, there's no way for it to do, I mean, it's not the same, it's not the thing.
Well, yeah, that's only that's just the mechanics of it. I mean, theoretically, I could set aside money to give to a kohen.
Animal that's about
right,
that's
right, that's right. Now, this itself is a gevaldig makor, but now, listen to this, Eloyishkeit. In Parshas Vayit, this is the second time there's a mitzvah pidyon HaBen. Right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was also a mitzvah pidyon HaBen, Kaddish Li Kol Bechor. In Parshas Vayit, Itaka does not say a double lashon. At the end of Parshas Vayit, what is the lashon? Kaddish Li Kol Bechor. V'chol peter chamor tifteh b'seh, same thing. V'chol b'chor adam b'vanecha tifteh. So in Parshas Vayit it's the same. So Zakta Meshech Chachma, a very interesting chiddush mitzad atzma, and then he uses that chiddush to be miyach of the pasuk. He says, the concept that you have to be paidai b'chor, that dates from makas b'chayas. Every Bechor became Kaddish because the Kaddish Baruch Hu was Mavir and Matzil the Bechor. But here's your problem. Shevet Levi was not chosen and Kohanim were not chosen till after the Chedo Egel. So you'll notice an amazing deal. In Parshas Bo, it does not say you give the five saloim to a Kohen. It says you must redeem the Bechor. But it doesn't say there's Nesina LeKohen. And the reason is because Kohan and Gufa were not chosen until after the Chedo Egel.
They weren't involved anyway. The ones who, the tribe of Levi became because of that. That was Gufa the reason. They still existed.
They existed, but they were not designated to be the people to receive the money.
I thought the Mechayos had the dinner of Levi.
Even that is true. Okay, that's a little bit. I mean, that Bechlau is a big question in and of itself. Did the Mechayos have their status until? So why are you redeeming them? You know, I mean, Mechayos redeeming them would imply that they're losing that status. So the Meshech Chach was Mechadesh. From Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Chedo Egel, the money would go, or let me put it another way, had there not been a Chedo Egel, the money would have gone to the Mishkan. It would not have gone to the Kohanim or Levim. It would have gone to the Mishkan. You have to be paid to them because they were Zaycha B'nais, but there'd be no reason to give it to Kohanim and Levim. Now, if the pigeon goes to the Mishkan, we have a cloud. Amirasa legavaya kimisirasa lehedidami. As soon as you make it hedish, it's our, you're never chayiv in achrayas. Okay. For a nether, you're chayiv because it's not brought as a korban yet. But if you're makdish property to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm makdish a table, I'm makdish a chair, I'm makdish money. If I'm makdish money to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm not chayiv in achrayas because as soon as I'm makdish it, it's their property. A korban is different because my nether was to bring it as a korban. But if I'm makdish mamain to the Beis Hamikdash, so memela in Parshas Bai, which is before the Chayda Egel, and the pigeon haben would have gone to the Mishkan, to the Avaida, it only says Tiftet, because I'm Mirasa Ligavaya, Kimisi Rasi Lehedra.
So you used to be chayav as a shomer of some sort. If you're a pusher,
When we use the word chayav in achrayas, we mean absolutely, like a borrower, right? A borrower is chayav in achrayas. A baal pikadon is only chayav if he violated shmirah. So Memel, the Meshech Chachma says, it's only in Parshas Kairach that it's nischadesh, that the money goes to a kayin. So it's no longer hekdesh. It's no longer merasa l'gavaya. So memeila, we say you're chayav and achrayas at shiyav aliyat kain. And that's why in Parshas Bai, b'chor adam tifte. In Parshas Kairach, b'chor adam padai sifte afila me'apam. So very, very gavaldic. So that's the diyukin of wording. This, by the way, is a favorite thing the Meshech Chachma does. L'hamtil, just like people like to write novels about alternative history, what would have happened, whatever it is. The Meshech Chachma has a number of shtiklach, it's very, very interesting, in which he posits what the halachos would have been had there not been a cheder eikel. There would have been an alternative reality in how the Torah would be eisgestalt. That much of, that derages, of course, a fundamental problem of the Torah's kadmah l'briyas ha'olam. Okay, but that's. But he makes the point that there would have been
an
obviously the Torah would have taken a different form. People had bechila, right? So if people would have decided not to do chayla, the nitzchias of the Torah would have had some other manifestation. So he identifies in several places the alternative version that would have existed. In fact, he's mechadish in another shtickle that had there not been a chayla egel, building the Mishkan would be Deicha Shabbos. This is a Gevaldik Diyuk that he has. Because in Parshas Kisisa, Truma Tetzava Kisisa, first Moshe Rabbeinu gets the details of the Mishkan, and then Vishamru Vnei Yisrael to Shabbos. In Parshas Vayakel, he first tells them Shabbos and then Mishkan. So Rashi learns that it's the same meaning, that Shabbos overrides Mishkan. But why is the Seder different? The Meshech Chachma says no. Kaidem Chedo Egel, the Mishkan would override Shabbos. That's why it's first. Only after the Chedo Egel, Shabbos overrides Mishkan. He's actually Mechadesh that you would be able to build a Mishkan even on Shabbos. That because we would consider the Mishkan like a Korban. Korban is certain, Korban Tzibur is like a Shabbos, right? It's only afterwards it becomes like a Machshir of a Korban. Right. Okay, we'll stop here and. So I guess the next week maybe we'll start this little experiment of. How's it again?
It's too much space.
Too much space. Parsha summer. Yeah, it's a big one. So that could keep us busy for a while.